The GAA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. For exclusive content from their GAA ambassadors and other high-profile contributors, check out news.paddypower.com.
Well, when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I should go, and so it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
Welcome along to The Hurling Show. It's myself here in studio and Damien is on the line. We have a bit of a mixed bag of a show today. We've Neil Pedden, the Antrim manager, coming up in part two, and then we have Cheddar coming up on the line in part three. So we've no studio pundit in here today. So we're going to do a mix and match of a show. So it's myself and Damien for the start of the show. Start off here, Damien. So I was reading today that the structure of the 2020 Hurling League. So next year, obviously, it's going to be decided at the end of Sunday's play. So based off, if people are wondering what these two divisions are going to look like, I just did up the two divisions based on what they would be with how the teams stand now. So Limerick are top of Division 1A. They'll go into Group A and they'll be joined by the fourth place team in Division 1A, the winners of Sunday's relegation playoff of 1A, and the second and third place teams in 1B, as well as the promoted side for 2A. Now that might all be a bit difficult to follow. So that would basically be Limerick. The fourth place team in 1A would be Cork. The winner of the relegation, I'm just putting Tipperary to beat Clare, just for argument's sake there. That would be Tipperary or Clare. Then Dublin, Waterford, who are second and third in Division 1B, and then poor Westmeath, who come up. So that Division A next year will be Limerick, Cork, Tipperary, Dublin, Waterford, Westmeath, based on those standings. And then B is going to comprise of the second and third place in Division 1A, relegation playoff losers, and the first, fourth and fifth team in 1B. So as they stand now, that would be Wexford, Kilkenny, Galway, Clare or Tipperary, depending on who would lose the relegation, and then Laois and Carlow. So realistically, all this kind of swapping around and everything, Damien, it's not going to change things massively. You've basically, you're moving one of the weaker counties really over, and that's kind of all you're doing.
That's all. I would agree with you there. You're just mixing and matching there. So yeah, they're just taking the top team with the lower tier team on the other side, and I just don't. And just a question now, just for someone that hadn't read into it, does that mean like you have 1A and 1B, does that mean, for example, that you go straight to semi-finals 1A versus 1B?
Yeah.
Or how does that work?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Damien, because I was going to cover that now. So next year, Group A and B, one and two, the top two teams, they go through to semi-finals, and then the next two go into semi-finals in cross group quarter-finals, and the bottom team in both groups go into the playoff for relegation. So that part of it is much better, you know what I mean? You've got less games, so you're pretty much the top three teams in both groups go through, instead of the top four, really, Damien, which I think it's too many. You have four out of six going into quarterfinals, which doesn't really...
Yeah, well, the system that was there, would say, for the last couple of years, where, for example, as we said, the top three were going straight through, or the top four, and then, we'll say, the fifth team on the top division, like it happened last year, where Offaly went through, if you can remember, you know, where they were... So I would agree with you there on that grounds, that we'll say the top two teams go straight to semi-finals, and we say team two and team three on both division A and B go through to semi. It'll just make it way more competitive and a lot better games as well, just for the league hurling format. So I suppose just on the grounds of what you said, that rough is the way it played out with the two teams. They're pretty even games, you know, for both sides, we'll say, spread out the county. So I think it will be a better format. I know it's
Yeah.
It sounds a little bit better.
The thing about it is for Westmeath next year, we'll go up into a division they've no chance of getting any wins from. Whereby in Division 1B now, you might have three strong teams, but like there's a great little league going on between Laois, Carlow, and Offaly. Like, I mean, do you know that if Offaly beat Carlow, even though they've a much inferior scoring difference, they can go above Carlow because it goes on head to head, I was reading in the Examiner. So like, you will lose that little mini league that goes on most years between the three weaker teams in 1B.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I can see your point. And as you said, there's great old competition and it's fierce competitive between them three teams, and there's a great rivalry starting to come there. But the only thing is, Colm, if you were to ask any of them players and any of them managers, they all want to, you know, strive to try, you know, see what level they can get to themselves and try maybe play in better games and better oppositions and all that. Where, you know, for example, if they were coming up against Tipperary, they might get an opportunity to hurl in Turles and all these different pitches around the country. So, yeah. Like, I know what you're saying. You're saying it's very evenly, and it's like the championship in the soccer, we'll say, that's underneath the Premiership. You know, that's a brilliant old competition, but they're probably trying to get to the next level to see, and that's where the progression that they'd like to be getting to see where they are. Like, in fairness, Carlo have stepped up to the mark, I feel, and they've made progress so they have in the last couple of years. So, but I know what you're saying, but they'd still like to go ahead and start playing bigger teams and better teams to try and improve hurling down there.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Well, we'll know exactly about 4 o'clock on Sunday what the lie of the land is. I just said I'd make two up because I was curious as to how the split would work. I want to talk to you about performance coaches here, Damien, because the big news today is that Kieran Donaghy has joined the Galway hurling squad as some sort of a performance coach. Now, there was news broke yesterday that Desi Farrell has joined the Dublin hurling team. So, like, I mean, this is a football takeover completely, because we know Oisín McConville was in with the Laois hurlers. We know Kieran McGeaney was in with the Tipperary hurlers. Like, I mean, I'm a little bit confused about this, in that I can kind of see what Desi Farrell might give the Dublin hurling panel. Dublin hurlers would have no All-Irelands. He has an All-Ireland. He might be able to talk to them, you know, about what it takes, about that winning mentality. I can see the same thing with Oisín McConville in Laois. I can see him, the Laois lads, hanging on his every word. Like, the Galway hurlers, Joe Canning, Player of the Year, multiple All-Stars. What can he learn from Kieran McGeaney or Kieran Donaghy? Now, this is no respect to Kieran Donaghy whatsoever, who's a great fella.
I seen it on the papers today as well, Colm, and I seen it just on the thing here on the screen in the garage, where kind of news flashes come up. And sure, Colm, as Micheál Dunne said, it's just a new voice and it's new ideas and all that type of stuff. And sometimes a lot of it is just to do with a new voice and maybe just them to hear different stories about how. So, like, Kieran Donnan, he's after going in now with Galway, as you're after saying. So, I believe, what will Kieran Donaghy do? He'll probably start telling Micheál Dunne about different things that Kerry did over the years, how they got teams up for games, what type of training they did the week before matches. Even, for example, advice on the best lads to go to regarding physios, or if you're a lad that needed a little bit of personal attention, or, you know, one-to-one. But personally, myself, I think Kieran Donaghy's role, I think it's going to be kind of just getting advice off him, but also kind of maybe having one-to-one chats with some players to just see can he get another a couple of extra percent out of him. But like, hurling-wise, I don't think he would have a huge knowledge of the hurling game. Obviously, he probably watches it and he enjoys it and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, that's the only thing. Maybe a little bit of motivation, maybe a few talks, but I'd say it'd be more maybe towards the management, with the management getting ideas of what Kerry did, for example, a week or two or 3 weeks before a build up to a match, and just getting different opinions. But it is a strange one, like, you know, it's but what happens there as well, Colm, you have to remember, he might be giant in the backroom setup, but that could be once a month. You know, just because, yeah, coming from Kerry, like, he might, maybe I could be wrong, maybe he might be down once a week, but he certainly won't be there three or four times a week. Like Kieran Donaghy, when he was going down with the Laois, Tipperary, like, he wasn't going down three or four nights a week, you know. So it's just, I just think it's just another voice and more ideas and maybe just one-to-one talks, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, because Dougie Howlett is in with Cork. Now, like I was saying earlier, I can understand Oisín McConville going in with the Laois hurlers and try to get that winning mentality into them. And this is what I did to win. This is what it takes to win an All-Ireland. And, you know, they would be very impressed with that because there'd be no All-Ireland winners there. Dougie Howlett coming in with Cork. Obviously, this is a professional, a fella who's been full-time at this, played at the very highest level of professionalism in the game. You know, like, I mean, I can see what he could potentially... I just think it's a very difficult job for the likes of Kieran Donaghy to come into an All-Ireland winning team. He's an All-Ireland winner himself, and try to give them a talk. Do you know what I mean? I would see the Galway lads on Kieran Donaghy's level rather than, you know, I don't know. I'm just, when I'm trying to think of these performance coaches, I'm just wondering what they actually do.
Well, a lot of it is just ticking boxes, Colm. In my opinion, a lot of it is just to say we have this guy doing this and we have this guy doing that. And my own opinion is that they're there to motivate the players and to get a little bit of, you know, and a few pep talks and that sort of stuff. And sometimes I think it's completely blown out of proportion. Sometimes you can get a guy that has been involved with the team or maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years previous that would give as good a pep talk as anyone. You don't just have to have a name, but as I said, I think myself that a lot of it will be due with getting advice off him, one-to-ones, and trying to motivate the players. How will Donaghy get on with the Galway Hurlers? He'll get on the finest of them. There won't be as much as a bother on them. He'll go out with them there and they'll have a few drinks, and the first thing he has to do is he's to gain their trust and get in with the whole morale of the team and everything, and basically just be with the whole management. But I just think a lot of it is just ticking boxes. At the end of the day, if the manager and the selector is doing a good enough job and the lads are winning, there's no need for it. Like, do Limerick have any performance coach, as we call it, or had they won last year?
Not that I know of. This all started. Dublin footballers have Bernard Dunn in there, and you always wonder what Bernard Dunn does. He's togged out in the gear, and he's walking around the pitch in Croke Park. And sure, you wonder what the hell is he going to say to the lads on a one-on-one. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm a bit this too old-fashioned for this stuff.
Yeah, this is like Colm used to say back in 1995. That it was Gerlach Nan and Mike Mack to destroy the whole training of hurling or intercounty, because Clare went on and won in All-Ireland and they were training 5-6 times a week and they were all bachelors and there was none of them married and they were training twice a week some days or twice a day some days and they were running up hills and running down hills. So once one manager does it or one setup does it and they're successful, other ones, and like my granny used to say, monkey see, monkey do, you know. And as I just say, a lot of it I think is just ticking boxes. Like, you know,
yeah,
like Oisín McConville has gone over the Laois hurlers. Like, let's be honest. Like,
he was.
Like, what could he really do with them? Like, I know to an extent he could try to get their heads right and try to get them to believe and all that. But at the end of the day, a lot of it is down to the player. Like, where he wants to come and where he wants to get that.
Do you ever give a talk? Like, I mean, I've never been asked. Now, I was involved with Portlaoise team. Brian Cody came down to talk to us. It was before the All-Ireland Club football final, and we were going into that game as favourites, and obviously he would go into a lot of games as favourites, so he came down to give us a talk. But it's a very general talk, you know. Like, I mean, I was wondering coming out of it what I might have actually got out of it that I wouldn't have already known myself. And I was only ever asked to talk to a team once. I was actually asked at the weekend and I said no because I just hate it. And it was the Portlaoise Miners and they were playing Stradbally. Now, I didn't know any of the players well at all, and I found it difficult to give them a talk not knowing what way they play, or, you know, not knowing the players that well. And I just talked generally about the rivalry with Stradbally and getting to every ball first. It's not these kind of speeches. This is why I'm interested in it and wondering the value out of it, because I don't really see the value of somebody coming in to give you a talk. I'm just wondering, did you have many in your time with Galway to talk to you?
No one really ever came in to talk to us with Galway. Sometimes Pat McDonough used to often come in and just give a small talk, so he would, you know, and basically he would talk to us about motivation through management and all that. And in fairness, I used to always enjoy them talks. Did I ever give a pep talk? I often, when, you know, I was asked often to go into a setup, maybe at the weekend of a match if they were playing a big game, and to give a bit of a pep talk. And they're not, the management aren't asking you to go in there and start telling them about a playing style or wanting to know. They're basically telling you to go in there and get the boys riled up and get them driven.
Yeah.
You know, and my opinion on JA is, if you've got a bunch of players that are extremely fit and extremely focused, right, and extremely motivated before they go out to play the game, they've got a great chance. That is my, whether it's club or county, that is my general opinion. If you're fit enough and you're focused on the job and you're well motivated, well up for the game now, right, you have a great chance of winning that game. And it's like the saying, in any hurling match or football match, it's you've got a 50-50 chance and whether you're going to put your body on the line. And like that's, I just think it's the boys are just going to be used as motivation, but and also for advice. I don't see what other purpose. I'm not going to be going over asking Donaghy, for example, how do you think we score more goals in the hurling pitch?
No. He's not in there for that. And Desi Farrell's not in there for that either.
But it's one thing that Galway need to do. They need to start scoring more goals for sure.
Yeah. Maybe they'll just put Donaghy in on the edge of the square there. Well, they have a Johnny Glynn already, so they don't even need... Maybe it's for a one-on-one with Johnny Glynn.
maybe, but Johnny Glynn, in fairness, he's well able to catch the ball, you know. But yeah. I just don't know. But look, as he said, it's just a different voice of what Charles Dillon said. But as I said, I think it'll be more for just motivation and just getting ideas.
Yeah, okay. So John Conlon's out for 4 weeks. That's the bit of news coming out of Clare this week. So that's very disappointing for him. He did his ankle. My memory of ankle injuries is that I was never afraid of ankle injuries. Like, I mean, I made bits of my ankle before, swelled up, all black all the way up my calf, and I played, I think it was like 8 days later. Because the thing with ankle injuries is you can strap them up on the outside and never go back out over it again. And like, I mean, ankle injuries are a weird one. I always feared muscle injuries way more than actual kind of joint injuries. I don't know what, like, I mean, obviously John Conlon, it's early in the season and I was trying to get back for a championship game, so Conlon's not going to be stupid here. It probably does take a month to properly get over an ankle injury. I don't know, did you have many of them?
Yeah, Colin, I did. I suffer a good bit with my ankles. Even I was told before that I had sprinter's ankles, so any little twinge, my ankles often just swell up, Joe, on the inside or even on the outside. But and it's an awful injury to have. And you're right, it is a great job to get your ankles strapped. But say if you have a little niggle and you won't, it's strapped so well that it's nearly like a cast.
Yeah.
That you won't twist it. But for me, it was on the twists and the turns. It used to, you know, catch you on that little sore point. But just anyone that ever heard of the old wife's tale, you know, that if anyone that ever has a very, very sore ankle or a swollen ankle, go to a flowing river where there's a broken point on the river with the cold water and let it flow onto your ankle. It's actually a great, great job. So it is. But then you have to strengthen it and have the power in it. And I remember a physio saying to me one time, and it was a great one, he says, just try get the strength back into the ligaments where you have the confidence. Again, when you're brushing your teeth, just use one leg off the ground and start working your ankle to sore. And also another one with the trick says, you know the trampolines, Colin?
Yeah.
Start jumping on the trampoline. If anyone ever had a trampoline that has a sore ankle, and start jumping on it with your sore ankle, and it will build up all the muscles again around your ankle. These are all just little tricks, but an ankle injury can take a long time, and the whole thing is to get the confidence back in it so it can, but it can be a terrible injury. But all I'll say to John Conlon, at least it's now, it's this time of year, which is early enough for him to get back and get back strong for the championship, but it can be a long, disgusting injury. I'm telling you, it's a sickener.
And the rehab on it is terrible too. You have that wobble board, you know, the thing where you have a circular piece of timber and a half a ball under it, and you have to balance on that, and it takes a bit of kind of dedication to start using that thing. That's all right using it once, and then it's like, Jesus, I have to go do that again. It is difficult, and a lot of the stuff with ankle injuries, I was told, is because your balance isn't great, and if you ever stand on one foot and close your eyes, and if you fall over, that was a test. I was told that your balance is bad, and if I close my eyes and stand on one leg, I'm falling straight away.
So a lot, and as you said, the balance, a lot of it in is to do with your core, that your core isn't strong enough as well, is what they used to say, that you have to tighten your core and do core exercises. But Colin, for an athlete, there's nothing worse, absolutely nothing worse than when you're injured, and it's all, you have to do all your own little exercise, and as you said, you have to do all the rehab there on your own, and you're doing stuff, and a lot of that is mentally, you know. And I used to hate it. I used to hate it when I'd have a little movement and you'd have to do exercises. I wasn't great at it, I had great patience, but look at John Connell, I'm sure he'll come back stronger, so he will, you know. He's had a few injuries now. He's damaged his shoulder, and I see the last couple of weeks there, which I know is during the league games, he wears a strap up along his elbow, going up towards his bicep, whether he damaged his elbow or something as well. So he's had a few injuries, and you know, he's a pivotal player as well for Clare, especially on the edge of the box. He's a good presence. So Clare want to get him back. You know, they won't rush this injury. They definitely won't. They'll give him as much time as they want, but they'll definitely want him back for championship in a big way.
Yeah, they definitely want him back. Just when I did my ankle badly that time, and I played, I think it was the Saturday, and we were playing on a bank holiday Monday against Westmeath, so my ankle was in an awful state, but I got it strapped up, and I hadn't played championship the year before, so I was desperate to play. This was back in the 90s when there was no back door or anything, so you just get one chance, and I just didn't want to not play 2 years in a row. So what I did was strapped up the ankle, like you said, like a cast, and then I strapped up my calf muscle right up to my knee. And I remember we're playing against Westmeath, and as you know, I would like to have been do a bit of mountain on the field, and there was a heaving fella played corner forward for Westmeath. He would have been at the same thing, so he started kicking my calf because I had the strapping right up my calf, pretending it was a calf muscle injury. So instead of kicking my sore ankle, so I thought that was a great little win.
Well, do you ever hear the one about Shawnee McMahon when Jimmer did beat Clare or beat Cork in a Munster Championship semi-final, and they went in to play the Munster Championship? I think this was actually going back in 95. He damaged his shoulder. He's actually without his collarbone. So the rumour was that the spies were going to really target this. So what they did was they strapped his shoulder, but they strapped his good shoulder twice as much. So if the tip boys were going to give it, they'd be hitting him into that shoulder.
Right, so they'd be hitting him on the good shoulder.
They'd be hitting him on the good shoulder. They strapped that shoulder twice as much.
Right, so that's an old trick. That was it. It was the far calf that I strapped. So he was kicking my good leg on my calf rather than my ankle. Because
was that the cornerback from Westmeath? Is he getting all star when you're?
No, he's a corner forward. John Keane. He was corner forward. I was playing wing back in the late 90s. So I was up the other end of the field.
Did you score much?
I got a point that day, but I didn't play well. I wasn't fit to play. I shouldn't have played. It was just out of this. The point I was making, that on an ankle injury, you can play with this strapping. You know what I mean? If you're never worried about having the ability to tug out with an ankle injury. Yeah. I suppose that's.
And now you can get a little injection, you know, a little cortisone injection that numbs the pain. And but the most important thing is when you have a ankle injury in particular, to make absolutely warm it up to no end. Do all them little jumps, you know, left to right in the, we used to do jumps, as we call it, in the clock motion. So you'd be standing in the middle and your physio would tell you jump to 12 and then jump back to the middle again, jump to 3, back to the middle again, jump to 9, and you just warm up your ankle so much that you don't feel anything with any cortisone injection. So it can be done. It can be done, but I always found it used to just catch me on the twists and the turns, especially if you were turning to whatever side your ankle was sore.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
It's a dirty injury.
Yeah, no, definitely. Right, just quickly before I let you go, there's some drama with the under-21. So Clare are holding a special meeting tonight for clubs involved in the Clare under-21 hurling championship. So they're going to vote on reducing the B championship from a 15-a-side to a 13-a-side because they're losing under-17 players. There's a new Croke Park ruling. So the new Croke Park ruling is that to play under 21 this year, you have had to be 17 on January the 1st. So you had to be 17 kind of last year, right? So, like, I mean, it used to be if you were 17 at some point this year, you were underage, right? Do you get me? So
yeah.
Now it's changing. So, like, there's a 5-year span on this, right? So I remember playing 5 years under 21, but this is the 5-year span. This is a tweet from John Fogarty. So to play under 21 club this year, you had to be 17 on January 1st. If you were 21 on January 1st, you can also play under 21 this year as it's a 5-year span. Central Council interpretation of the rule leaves a lot to be desired. Rural clubs hit hardest. So if you're following that through for the 5 years, if you're 17 on January 1, then you can be 21 on January 1 and be underage at 22 during the year for the under 21. Are you following this? Maybe it's a little bit difficult. So, like, I mean, some clubs are really pissed off about this in that they can't field under 21 teams without some of their 16-year-olds that will be 17 in the year they're playing under 21.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Gosh, the world of the GAA column, you'll never make sense of everything, so you won't.
Yeah, it's just an extra one. I'm just wondering how Portumna would be affected with numbers like that.
We're No, we're goose tenants. We just, to be honest with you, we have very poor numbers over the last couple of years, you know, and we're starting. Look, we're really putting a bit of an emphasis on our juveniles again. But over the last couple of years, our numbers were extremely poor, and I suppose we were playing lower division, B and C competitions. So it would make very little difference to us at the moment.
Right, okay. Right, well, listen, we'll leave it there, Damien, and we'll come back with Neil Pedden.
Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I'll tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans.
Alright, so after performing so well in Division 1B last year, Antrim looked like missing out on promotion from Division 2A, and their manager Neil Pedden joins us on the line now. Probably not the league you would have hoped for, Neil.
Well, no, Colin, I think we had a good league campaign, if you really want to put it with the context of where we are at the moment. You know, when we started off the season, we knew we were going to be missing massive contingent of our Cushion Doll players.
Yeah.
And we're getting into the league. And we had to recruit in and bring in a number of new players, and we had 12 debutants in the league. So we were very satisfied with our performance in the league. But don't get me wrong, I mean, Kerry and Westmeath were matches we could have won, and we ran them to 2 points each, and they were close matches, and then, especially in the Westmeath match, and I thought we could have pushed on in the second half. But when you look back at our performances, we're very happy with the performances. We're very happy with the debutants that were made and the players that we've now recruited in and are dedicated to the panel. And now with the Cushion Doll contingent back on, Joe Maskey back from Snendish, you know, we can only but be to think positively about the league, yet I know we didn't get promotion. I mean, that might just take another while.
I think that's the big thing. Cushion Doll fellas missing, and then you that tricky one with Kerry away, which is a difficult one to go to, and you don't have them. Because people kind of forget, the last 2 years it's been Slocknail winning the Ulster Club, and you've had all your players throughout the whole league, whereas this year you're down, you know, some, obviously Neil McManus is the standout one, but other players as well.
Exactly, Colin. I think you're hitting the realistic notes there. You know, that's what we've had for the last 3 years is we've had our full contingent. We got promotion. You know, we did well up in the league. You know, we were a couple of great matches running the bigger teams really, really close. So there was a couple of pucks in the ball for us getting relegated. And when we come back down, everybody thinks, you know, it's an automatic keep them back up. But that's not the way it works. You know, these teams are all working hard, the likes of Mayo, the likes of Westmeath, the likes of Kerry. All these teams are working very, very hard. And you've got to get your full squad out, working over the period of time you have them and preparing them for the league to get that promotion, to get those key results that you're looking for. And you know, we weren't far off, but you know, as you say, we've got everybody back now, and we can be able to prepare now for the championship.
It's a weird one with you talk about Westmeath and Kildare and Kerry, and Laois and Antrim used to be always a good level above them. Now, are Laois and Antrim dropping back down towards them, or are they making big improvements, or is it a combination of the both?
It's a combination of a lot of things, you know. It's a combination of a number of things. Geographically, where we are, it's a combination of, you hit the nail on the head, an Antrim team generally wins Ulster. We lose players for periods of time. Other counties don't have that issue whatsoever. Parlow, Westmeath maybe aren't going to win the Leinster Club, if you understand what I'm saying. So they're always going to have their players. So all those things, invitation players in are allowed on border issues, you know, two players allowed into playing leagues and stuff like that. So these other counties are growing and building, putting resources in place, and they're getting better. We're still always building, and we're always trying to, you know, aspire to be in the 1B. That's where we want to be. But I mean, you have to be realistic, and you've got to work hard towards that and get a team that's ready to go into that 1B, that we can sustain that and stay up there and then progress in the Joe McDonagh. That's what we're looking to do.
Well, this is the thing. So like, last year was a really interesting year, I thought, for Antrim. So you only lost to Dublin by a point in the league. You only lost to Galway by three. You beat Offaly. You lost to Laois. Like, I mean, and then in the Joe McDonagh Cup, you started off with two great wins. One of them was Carlo, who ended up winning it. And then you lost your last three games. You ended up, after those results in the league, getting relegated. So, like, I mean, last year could have turned out to be a good year, or had it ended up being a bad, you know what I mean, a really bad year. When things go against Antrim, is confidence brittle that things start to kind of maybe fall apart, or...?
Well, I don't know, Colin. It's a lot of things. As you say, you're trying to get confidence up. You're trying to, you know, we are as good as anybody out there. We showed that last year at that level that we played. It's a good competition. The Joe McDonagh is a good competition. And the teams in the Joe McDonagh are a very even level. And it can go anywhere. And the matches go on day. You know, matches can go on the day and go on performances. It can go on, have you got the full quota? You know, and injuries, everything leads towards one match. And, you know, it can go from a puck of the ball, do you win, a puck of the ball, do you lose? And as you rightly said, a couple of results our way last year, we had a really good year. But a couple of results went against us. And you know, again, I don't like saying we had a bad year. I think it's better saying, you know, we were disappointed maybe in where we were, because we got a great start. And Joe McDonagh, and you are right, it did fizzle out on us. And we were disappointed the way it finished. But, you know, these are the way things that you've got to deal with, and we've got to try and build that up again for this year, and maybe go at it, you know, to try and keep that intensity and keep that our mindset that we go right through the Joe McDonagh with our four matches rather than, you say, fizzle out after two.
I saw you talking about a problem you had last season, was getting the top players to play. You said some players didn't play last season for their own reasons. I'm wondering, now that you were part of the management team last year, now you're manager in your own right, have you managed to talk these fellas around? Do you have everybody in that you want to have in?
Well, it's not something I talk a lot about, if I was being honest, Colin. I'm a great believer. We went round and we looked at all the top players and we wanted them in and we embedded people in, and that's what we do. And when the people who come in, that's who we want to work with. We've thrown our net further and we've looked for younger players, we've looked at university players, you know, we've looked at players in other clubs, and these guys, we've seen how good they are, we've brought them in, and these are the guys that are committed to play for them. All we can work with is what we get in and who really wants to be committed and wants to come in. Is there other players out there? Yeah, there could be other players who could come into the county panel and could do well. But again, they've made choices, and people make their own choices for their own reasons. I don't really harp back on those. If they don't come in, they don't come in for me. I'm willing. Yeah, I've got a group of guys now, 33 guys who are very committed, and I'm hoping that we work really hard and we'll, you know, put in a performance in the Joe McDonagh, and that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, we have Cheddar on the podcast here, and he talks about the likes of Offaly, Laois, even Antrim, not having a provincial championship to play for, and it being a disincentive, you know, to commit to the counties that they should be part of the Leinster Championship. Like, I would have a different opinion and say, geez, isn't it great that they have a Joe McDonagh Cup, which they have a chance of winning rather than getting hammered in a provincial championship? I think the Joe McDonagh Cup is great. I don't know what you think, or how does it have a knock-on effect of maybe players not wanting to commit because they're not in a provincial championship?
I don't think that's the case up here in Ulster. I think the case is that Joe McDonagh was set out last year, and we've seen that as a major challenge. And we've seen it with teams that are at the level where we are. And if you're going to progress, then you have to beat those teams to progress in, to try and get a realistic target at the higher 8 to 12 teams. That's what you're trying to do all the time. And you just don't get there. You've got to work hard and commit and get there. And Joe McDonagh is a great stepping stone to that. And I think they have it right, that stepping stone into the... you know, the provisional All-Ireland quarter-final. So there's no greater carrot if you get into that, and then you really see where you are then, and you can, you know, set your stall out from those matches if you can win the Joe McDonagh. But the Joe McDonagh's a difficult one to win. There's no doubt. We learned that last year. Are those teams, the Carlo and Westmeath and these teams in Kerry, Offaly are now back there, and they, you know, Laois are always there. They're the teams who want to win the Joe McDonagh, so that's the stepping stone to move to the next level.
Yeah.
And that's what we're all trying to aspire to.
Yeah, and you get back into the All-Ireland series then as well with a game. I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. Yeah. I saw Sambo Nocton quoted It's a quote from 2 years ago when he took over. You obviously part of his management team who took over mid-season. I think it was 2016 or 17 when you took over. He says, when we came in last year after the management resigned, we came in and the boys weren't fit. There were boys coming and going and it was like a drop-in centre. We had to change the attitude and we had to change the culture. So we're down to, I'll give you a statistic, we must have asked over 70 players and we're down to 28. So, like, I mean, is that culture change now, Neil, and, you know, that work has been done, or is that challenge still there?
So that challenge is always there, and I'll say that challenge will always be there, Colin. You know, we're always trying to get it right, that people, the shop window, looking into the Antrim hurling team, that we want players to look in and say, that's where I want to be. Every club, a player, you know, playing in their club championships, aspiring to play well, win their championship, if not win it, they're looking to get on the county team. And that's all we're trying to do, to get that shop window. They look in, it's good, it's structured, it's professional. When they come, they're going to, you know, they're going to get fit, they're going to be going back to their clubs as better hurlers. You're trying to work with the clubs as well, so you're always trying to do that, that the young people are looking through that minor under 20 and up and saying, I want to get into that senior outfit because that's a good outfit, and, you know, and I want to get into that panel of 30 players. And that's what you're hoping the young people are doing, and that's what we're trying to do, is to set up a professional structure, which I think we've set up. I think the county board look after us. I think we're well structured. We've got we're well looked after in every aspect of the game. And I think that young people see that, then they will want to come in. And that's what we're trying to do over the next 2-3 years. We've tried that when Sambo and I, we all come in. That's what we tried to do, change attitudes and change the structure. And I think it's work in progress, but it's work and it's getting there.
Yeah, is part of that attraction for the setup getting Liam Sheedy in? And I know you tried to get Anthony Daly in this year, but he committed and then didn't commit. You have actually Darren Gleeson, who used to come up in the car with Liam Sheedy. He's in with you now. Is that part of that thing, trying to make it like more attractive for players to come in, to have a big name? Or who makes that appointment? Is that your decision or is that a county board decision?
Well, it's a joint decision. You know, it's a county board with who the manager comes in, and then we'll see who we'd like to work with and who would be willing to come up and work with us. I mean, Darren did come up last year with Liam, and they both came in and did a great job. And Darren has wanted to then continue on that, and we felt that was important, that Darren could come up and continue his role as one of our coaches up here. And he's up here now doing a great job with us. You know, the players, he set out the stall for the players. He comes in and he's coaching with the players. And, he, you know, and to me, it's lifted. That's that wee bit of professionalism that they see we're wanting the best from everybody. We've got Karen McKeegan in coaching, Jim Close, Gary O'Kane, myself. We're all doing our work around the whole. There's a massive role within that management structure for us all to do. And Darren just, you know, adds that extra bit from his whole experience with Tipperary and his All-Ireland series he's been in before. So you're always looking for somebody who's going to give you new ideas and bring you up their thoughts. And Tipperary, one of the top teams, so he's bringing his good ideas up north and up in the Antrim. And, you know, I can only see that getting us better. You know, and it's all those wee touches. If they can make us better, then we're looking for them all the time.
So how often would Liam Sheedy have come up? Or how does Gleeson come up more often? Or, like, how, you know, what's
well, Liam said, no, I'm not going to start comparing the two. Liam came up and did a tremendous job. Liam's a great motivator, a great ambassador. And he came up and his coaching was superb. And he wasn't maybe, and he probably said, he was able to commit as often as he could. But sure, Darren has given a huge commitment and is with the boys, you know, on a bigger scale, and is there most of the training sessions with us as well. So that's added that aspect of being with the team and being part of the management structure, that he's a major part of it now.
All right, okay, that's interesting, because, like, I mean, you're an optimistic man when it comes to Antrim hurling. You're talking about, we have great potential. It's getting that potential out on the pitch. It's the key for us getting our main players. Like, I was reading different interviews from you, and a consistent team is you talking about the potential.
Yeah, well, we have potential in Antrim, and I'm not going to doubt that. You don't have to come and watch Antrim play and you see potential there. It's about getting consistency, and it's about getting those at 70 minutes of consistency out on the pitch. You know, we have the ability to go out and play against anybody. I believe that, you know, I believe. But it's about consistency, and it's about getting our younger players into that conditioned programme where they're conditioned, and we're an outfit which is ready and fit and able to go out and compete against the bigger teams. And that's what we need to do. We have great hurling ability in Antrim. There's no question about that. But it's just about that conditioning, that 3-4 years conditioning that young players need to be able to step into that senior ranks if you get a consistency of a team over 3-4 years, you know, generally in the 5th, 6 years, you're going to have a good team ready to do things, and you're going to compete against most, especially in the, and that's where the target would be, is to compete in the Joe McDonagh. You can't look beyond that until you do well in that.
Yeah,
I would believe in that.
Sorry, Neil. I was reading another quote there. Where did you even have management on your horizons at the start of this year? Because, like, I mean, the Slocknail boss Michael McShane was the only name put in, and I read a quote from you saying that you'd enjoyed the last 2.5 years, and you were interested in being, you know, depending on who came in as manager, you're interested in being part of the management team.
Yeah, I've been involved in Antwerp for a long time, you know.
Yeah,
and,
you have.
And, you know, I want the best for Antwerp. If Antwerp people think that there's somebody out there is to come in and do the job, and the Antwerp County Board wanted to look for somebody, I mean, I have no issue with that at all. But when it came to the shove, and nobody was willing to step forward, it needed somebody to step forward and say, well, do you know what? I'll take it on, and I'll build a team and get a team around me, which we did. And we've got a team around us now, and bringing Darren Gleeson into that team, you know, and building a structure that's going to move us forward. That's what we've done, and we've moved on from that. Me stepping, saying that as a quote was to allow the Antrim board to go, and if people want to put their names forward, look for the best person. They chose then that when I put my name forward, they chose me. I was quite happy then to step in and do the job, and that's what we're doing. We're driving on, and we're working hard with the boys. And again, we've, as I say, we're happy with the way things are progressing, and we'll progress it further.
Yeah, okay, brilliant stuff. Fair play to you. Come here, before I let you go, the Gaelfast initiative made headlines last year, and I was reading that it was supposed to commence in September 2018, where 20 schools across Belfast will be taking part, and coaches will be in the schools. Has that kicked off, Neil? Are we going to see fruits of that in years to come, or how has that started off?
No, we are. Gaelfast has now kick-started. You know, I think they started with 16 initial schools who signed up for Gaelfast, where the coaches would be into the school and supporting the teachers. And I think they've grown that to 30-odd schools at the moment, all around the county as well. It's not just in Belfast. So they are working hard at that, and they're putting their own team together now. And I think they've got the coaches in place, and they've had the teachers in, and they're training the teachers up. Got a great connection down with St Mary's Teacher Training College in Belfast, which I think was a great initiative from the Gaelfast committee who put that in place, that they've now embedded the young aspiring teachers in St Mary's going out to the schools and helping out with the teachers and their coaches going out. So they're gathering good people and getting them qualified and getting them out to the schools, and that can really look good for us. That as I said in the sporting pyramid, the more participants we get at the bottom, and the broader that base, and the greater we can get at the top. But that's, you know, that elite athlete at the top can come through in a greater number.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking to do in Antrim.
Yeah, what's the reaction been like by all the children in the schools? Obviously, they get a coach in there one day a week. Like, even the children from non-GA backgrounds are happy to take part and, you know, see what it's all about.
Yeah, but that's what it's about. You know, Belfast is a big city, and we have schools where a lot of youngsters don't get a feel of Gaelic games. You know, don't ever, you know, we have loads of clubs, there's no question about that too, but a lot of children who don't get a feel of Gaelic games. You know, I'm coming from an educational background, working in school all my life, and, you know, and I want my children in my school to have that experience of hurling and football, and that's what I made sure happened in my school. And I want other schools now to take that on board, and Gaelfast is hopefully getting in there and getting the principals and getting the teachers saying that Gaelic games is great for our children. It's a great way of getting them active. It's a great way of tackling obesity, which is a major crisis in Ireland at the moment, and all over the UK. So it's tremendous to see that it's our sports that are in there, and hopefully youngsters will take up the hurling and the football and the camogie and the handball, but, you know, and be active. I think that's the key: get them active and get them into our games, and that's what Gaelfast hopefully will do.
Yeah, okay, listen, fantastic stuff, Neil. Come here, thanks very much. I've taken up enough of your time. Best of luck in the Joe McDonagh and for the rest of the year.
Thanks, Colin, appreciate it. Thanks very much.
A lot of people do say, what do you love about hunting? They do say. Is it the fresh air? Is it the great outdoors? Is it the thrill? No. I just love killing things, right? Absolutely.
All right, Paddy Power predictions, and we have Cheddar. The big guns have rolled in, Cheddar, here for Paddy Power predictions. So we've telling everyone we've a mixed bag of a show today. First game we're going to look at is in 1A, and this is Clare and Limerick. Paddy Power have this as evens. I can see exactly why it's even money. It's in Cusack Park. in Clare. Clare obviously beat Limerick there last year. Limerick going well. Clare on 4 points. Like, I mean, the reality is, if Clare lose this, they're in a relegation.
Yeah, but obviously the relegation doesn't mean anything this year.
It's a relegation playoff. Yeah, but yeah. Like, I mean, it means nothing.
It is all right. But look, it doesn't have the same, I suppose, significance it has in other years.
No.
Look, it's going to be some game. I'll be surprised if it's not a full house. And you know, look, you're right, Willie. You know, Clare have been a little bit, I wouldn't say they're inconsistent. They've been very, very strong at home and very, very difficult to beat at home. But bear in mind, we're getting a little bit close now to Munster Championship time and, you know, first rounds and that. And all teams, you know, there may not be a relegation trapdoor, but all teams will want to play in a league quarter final and semi final for a couple of reasons. To gain momentum, obviously, number one, and to try out, you know, your systems and all of that. But the other, you know, the other reason is that, look, once you go out of the league, you're probably back into county championships and you've got to release players. And, you know, there's a whole lot of other things come into the mix then, yeah, once you go out of the league this early. So, go back to the game. It'll be a massive game. Obviously, John Connellan looks like he's going to be out for a little while. He would be a huge loss if he was.
4 weeks, yeah. It's 4 weeks.
So I understand that. Now look, Clare have some similar type players, Shanahan, Peter Duggan, and definitely Gilfile. Gilfile was obviously playing Fitzgibbon Cup last weekend on a losing Mary I team, but you know, certainly showed his worth. So they have some similar type players, but there's not so many players around the country with the maturity and the experience of John Connellan, you know, to be able to make plays that make a difference in a match. And he certainly will be a big, big loss to them. Although, as I said, they have some air game players that they could replace him with.
They have. Jeez, it is a kick up the arse for any team that doesn't make the quarterfinals. Like, I mean, we're on February the 28th, the last day of February. So it's the 2nd of March. So you have a full month before the April for clubs with no real matches, because who are you going to get a challenge game against when all the other teams are in quarterfinals? You're kind of snookered, aren't you, for nearly 2 months before the Munster Championship?
No, there are serious consequences to that. And, you know, even take the Leinster Championship. Leinster Championship starts, I think, on May the 11th or May the 12th, sometime around that time anyway. You know, time would shoot on pretty quickly, and you've got to give, you know, your month to club games and that as well. And look, that could get extended if you're knocked out. You know, a lot of sort of things happen that's difficult to manage if you're knocked out early. And particularly if you have your team settled or you have your game plan settled, and, you know, you need time to do that. And, you know, I referenced Tipperary and Michael Ryan last year. It was very, very difficult for him to turn things around because, as I said before, there's two or three championships ongoing in Tipperary at any time, and you may lose a whole pile of players. And then practice match and challenge match, they're sort of meaningless at that time of the year because you're using them to test players in certain positions and so on. Whereas a challenge match early in the year, you're testing them for intensity and, you know, players' fitness for battle and all of those things. So it has huge consequences, Willie, yes.
Yeah. Gerry O'Connor was quoted after the Wexford game. So we know Clare threw away a big lead but ended up winning it anyways. He said, mentally we might have switched off, but you can't give a team 1-8 like we did and be hanging on for the last 10 minutes. There's something there definitely to work on, because this is the third week in a row we struggled in the final quarter. It's something we have to look at in training. So when he's saying it's something we have to look at in training, is he saying maybe their physical fitness isn't where it should be? Or, like, I mean, fading out of games in the last quarter might be something you might talk about as a group rather than work on.
It could be the other way. You don't know, obviously, until you're inside the camp, they could be after going through a really heavy block of training. You know, you'll do your training in blocks of 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, then you'll do a down week, and then you'll push on again. And if a team is serious about the Munster Championship, that's where their focus is going to be. Yes, they're using the league to win matches. You don't go out to lose matches, but you probably won't upset your conditioning program and your hurling program for the year because of the league at the minute, particularly with, you know, the Munster Championship now being on the league and the importance of that now. And the importance of winning the first match is hugely important. So he could very well be saying the opposite, Willie, that it's not a lack of fitness. We actually trained like dogs. We trained every night last week, and we were just a little bit heavy legged and ran out of steam a little bit towards the end. So you don't know on as Matt says until you know what's going on inside the camp.
Right, okay. I'd say it's probably more the latter, more your take on it, yeah.
And like, I would I would think so. When you consider the quality of people involved in conditioning and teams now, they're, you know, and the science involved in all of it, I'd be amazed if any team in the top two divisions, you know, were citing lack of fitness at this time of the year. Because, you know, if you were going into a heavy block now, hoping to get it right for the start of May, well, you're probably a little bit too late, because you're not going to get any time then to do the hurling and to do the speed work and all of those things. So I would imagine it's something to do with that rather than a lack of fitness. But it points maybe to another little thing. Like, there could be a whole lot of other things going on. It may not be fitness, it could be lack of concentration, went a little bit far ahead. Did they put the foot on the throat of Wexford? They didn't. Could have had, you know, they should have had in Ennis, because they've been doing it for a long number of years. So, look, I think a lot of that, though, will be tested next Sunday. This will be flat to the mat. The boot will be to the floor from the throw-in to the final whistle in this game. And if there was nothing at stake, it would be anyway, because of the rivalry between both counties. And, you know, I think that'll be a fair test of Clare and whether they can sustain, you know, a high level of an intense performance right throughout the game. I think next Sunday would be a better indicator of that.
Who do you fancy?
Look, I mean, Limerick are All-Ireland champions. And, you know, there's probably a lot of people writing them off a little bit early. And I said in a couple of the instances of the show, Willie, that sometimes the glory of an All-Ireland, that can carry performances into the following year. We've seen it a number of times. We've even seen it in clubs and that you win a county final and, you know, you carry that performance and that energy in the dressing room to the next year. And sometimes then that can seep out a little bit. You just flatline a little bit. So I think Limerick just need to be careful here. They're going a different way about it than Galway went last year. You know, Galway didn't win an All-Ireland, obviously, but, you know, you don't know whether it's right or wrong. You don't know about these things. You win an All-Ireland, everybody points back to these things, it was brilliant. And then somebody does the very same thing the following year and they lose an All-Ireland. They say, oh, heck, we've done the wrong thing. So it's difficult to know. Back to your question, I just think that, I think even with John Connellan gone, and he is a huge loss, I just think that Clare sort of have to get consistency and confidence into their team by winning. And in Ennis, they're very, very difficult to beat there. It's been proven over a number of years. They used to play in Tulla a number of years before, back in the 80s and the 90s. They were even more difficult to beat there. So because the game is there, I'm just going to give it to Clare, but look, there's going to be very little in these games.
Okay, great stuff. Cork versus Tipperary. This is on TG Cahir at 2 o'clock. Cork are 4-5 favourites, Tipperary 5-4. Cork turned things around, even though, like, I mean, I think Pat Horgan was interviewed during the week and he was saying, geez, we were going terribly 2 weeks ago, now we're going great. Like, I mean, it's reading anything into the league is really, and we just keep driving that home, that reading too much into losses and things like that in the league, you can end up looking a little bit silly, because like you said, we don't know what they're doing in training, we don't know what their you know, motivations are for the league. But I thought it was interesting, a lot of talk, and we mentioned it on Monday, about Tipperary closing out games and losing close games. And I was reading another piece there during the week, and they were talking about losing the lead against Clare in the Munster League last year, and they lost the last 15 minutes against Limerick 1-5 to 1 point. And this is like building up the kind of idea that Tipperary can't see out a lead. And then I was thinking, in the Munster League, I remember they came back brilliantly against Cork and drew with them, and they came back brilliantly from almost being hammered against Waterford in the Gaelic grounds. You can, it's very easy to cherry pick results and say they can't do close out games or whatever, when they actually had two brilliant comebacks last year under Michael Ryan.
No, I agree with that. And I think, look, if Tip had won that game, you know, and they had a chance to win it, if Jake Morris's goal had went in, who would have said Tip wouldn't have made an All-Ireland quarter final? I would have been pretty confident that they would. And then you'd have been looking at a completely different view of Tipperary. I just think, though, at the minute that, and this is just an evolving process in Tip, they've got to find a settled team and they've got to find a game style that suits that team. And you can't just press the button and put people around the place and just press the button and, hey, everything's going to be okay. It's going to take a little while for that to happen, I think. And that may explain a little bit about, you know, some strong performances. You're meeting the same type of performance again next week and so on. I've no doubt, though, that they will get it right, and I've no doubt that they will be, or they are serious contenders, for the simple fact of the quality of player that they have in their team. But even if you just use as a sort of case in point, where's Paddy Maher going to play? I think one of the panelists said a couple of weeks ago he's definitely going to be going back. Seems to be now being back out wing back and that. Even if you just use that. And people move players around and eventually they'll find a settled team, having played a number of matches, and they'll hone their game style. And there's no doubt they will get that done. And when they do, then there will be a different team. And they're definitely a top three team in my view because of the quality they have in their panel.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a cracker match. This is a really important match, and it's really important for Tip as well, Willie. Because look, this is the Munster round one of the Munster Championships in Cork. It's Cork versus Tip, I'm pretty sure. So this is a dry run for that, and nobody will want to cede any advantage to that game, and including on Sunday. So it's a very interesting game. It's interesting from another couple of points as well. Cork had a couple of good results recently without Fitzgibbon players, and the likes of Fitzgibbon and Coleman and Mead and Flynn and a number. There's another couple that I just can't remember at the minute to come back into that panel. But they're real quality players, and you just think for a minute that the quality of training would up a couple of matches by that level of quality coming into it, and there's more confidence in the team. So I think Dan Myler's in a great place. He's found a number of players which is the one thing he wanted to get out of the league, and he is, even just look at one position on Sunday. Aidan Welsh will test the Tipperary number three on Sunday, and it'll be a good test of whether Tip has settled on three. Because the last couple of years, I think everybody has said that look, they just haven't nailed that position, and it's such an important position now, because most of the time you're going to be isolated inside with two backs and two forwards if you're not going to play a sweeper, and I'd be surprised if Tip play an out and out sweeper. They may just drop a man back, but they're going to have to fix three, because that would have been all right a couple of years ago. You could have played tight, you could have played your two corner backs tuck in tight and all that, but you can't play like that anymore, because you could be playing with maybe 50 metres in front of you and 50 metres inside of you, and if you're not going to be able to handle that, well, you're going to be in trouble. Aidan Walsh is a very, very athletic player, gets around the field, big man, good air game, so you can chuck it in high to him or on the ground. I think he will get better in terms of his scoring rates and that, and he'll get better at feeding the ball to the runners coming through the middle, but he's a serious threat. So there's a lot of things on Sunday that could very well tell a lot of what's going to happen in May in that championship match.
Yeah, in the Munster championship match. And it's actually interesting that Brian Carroll was talking about that McGrath Cup game. Is it McGrath Cup or whatever the warm-up competition is, and how much Tipperary learned from Clare in that one? So, you take that up a notch then from the league, and we're talking about preparations for Munster League, and it's almost saying, do you really want to give your hand away there, Cheddar? Would Cork be as well off maybe not playing Aidan Walsh in that and keeping him reserve potentially for that Munster game?
Well, they could do it. John Myler can do it because, as I said, the quality of player that's coming in. You could put Skibbin in the half hour and shove somebody inside. You could play a different system with that. You could do that. But look, Aidan has just started back in the team in that as well. And, he's certainly got some momentum behind him. He's in the shop window for Cork hurling at the minute. There's upsides and downsides to these things. Do you disturb Aidan Welsh's development within the team and the systems of play and all of that by just not playing him and then springing him on them? But I don't think there's any great value in that anymore, because teams, all the top teams would have probably four video cameras on your team, and they'll look at Aidan Welsh, look at all the things he does, the type of ball that comes into him, whether he likes to take it on his left or whether he likes to take it on his right, whether he's there on the ground. So even if you were to leave him off, there's such a level of video analysis done on players now that I don't think there's any great value in leaving him off, to be honest with you.
It's like a trick. It's probably something Davy Fitz would do or something. He likes to pull a surprise like that. Most managers don't really do stuff like that. Who are you going for there in a word quickly, Cork or Tipperary, before we move on?
Well, I'll just go back to that point. You may very well play Aidan Welsh on Sunday and not play on May the 5th and spring something then.
Yeah.
Which would really upset the apple cart, because if you were putting in a big, quick player on him that's a good shunter out to the side and that on Aidan Welsh and just denies him the ball and that. Well, look, if he was playing on Alan Cadogan, then you have a complete different matchup in May.
Do you think, Cheddar, do you think not enough of that goes on in in the GAA in general, like tricks like that. Do you know that? That for me now, that would be the perfect thing where Tipperary would be planning for Aidan Walsh. They might pick a player that can physically match up to him, and then you put Alan Cadogan in on him. Do we see enough of that?
We probably do, but bear in mind, Aidan Walsh may very well be the linchpin of the way Cork play, and you take him out of that maybe a week before a championship match.
Okay.
You've 3 or 4 weeks leading into it. Let's say it was the second round, you've only a week then to practice those things. You're better off to stick with the tried and trusted because you know what you're going to get out of it. Unless you really have some ace up your sleeve. You bear in mind, Brian brought in Walter Welsh in an All-Ireland. He became man of the match. Who would have thought that?
Yeah.
There are some things that would work, but you just need to be careful that you are going to get the edge that you expect out of that immediately, because it can turn around against you then. I just think Cork, I just think that, you know, I think there's a lot of things going right for Cork at the minute. Certainly they've found some players, and they'll get some momentum behind them now, having got a couple of points recently. I think if they hadn't, then it started to tilt the other way. It sets doubt, questions are asked about your selections and your new players and all of that. Get a few wins under your belt and then they're saying, now we see it as progress and now we see there's serious potential here. Lose a few matches and they say, oh, they're not up to it and all of that. You know, so I think there's good things happening with Cork at the minute. And as I said, there's a Fitzgibbon Cup player to come into it. And I do think that Tip haven't really found or settled team yet. There's probably going to be a couple of other changes around the field before they settle on that, and definitely settle on a game style. And I think even for the Munster Championship, I'd have a different view on it. But I think for Sunday, I think I'd give it to Cork, yes.
Okay, great stuff. Wexford versus Kilkenny is in Wexford Park. Wexford are outsiders for this, 11-8. Kilkenny are 8-11, according to Paddy Power. I think Wexford are in with a great shout here, Cheddar. Like, I mean, Wexford are the type of team that really should be trying to win this league because it has taken on less significance and because the top teams have an eye on the... Now, obviously, Wexford have an eye on the Leinster League as well. But if you get my point, Wexford need to win something. I think Davy's desperate to win something. And, like, I mean, what better year to win the league? Maybe when other teams' eyes might be slightly off the ball?
I would agree with you. I'd say that for any team. Look, Brian Cody with Kilkenny has proved this for 20 years in terms of, I think he's won 9 leagues at this stage, pretty close to the number of All-Ireland championships he's won. He hasn't went out to win the leagues just because they were coming into him. He went out deliberately, set his team up to win him because he knew that the momentum gained earlier in the year and in a very dynamic dressing room, that will serve you well come on later on in the year. Incidentally, this is a very... I think the last round is very interesting on Sunday because every team will want to get into the quarterfinal for the reasons that I've said earlier on. Leinster teams and Munster teams. But bear in mind, in Division 1, there's 4 teams on 4 points and Limerick are on 6, if I'm right.
Yeah.
So Limerick are through. Only 3 of the 4 can get through. Tip are out at this stage. Only 3 of the 4 can get through. I think teams will be going for it. I think in Wexford Park, Wexford are like all teams are difficult to beat at home, but Wexford Park is a difficult place to play. It's one of these pitches where however it is, the wind obviously seems to be just blowing from goal to goal rather than cross field and that. So sometimes a game can be ruined by a strong wind. First half, teams get too far away or whatever the case may be. But I think Wexford have a strong air game in their defence. Like, Kenny are missing the very players to contest that type of ball, and they're probably not at the minute playing enough of the low ball to quality forwards and that. I think you're right. I think just based on the teams that are there, Willie, that's going to be on the field, and the teams, I mean, obviously the Ballyhale players have got to come back into the record there. I know Wally is back now. But I think Wexford will want to push on and win it. But I just think there's going to be an eye also on the Leinster Championship. That game in the Leinster Championship is round 5, so it's a good little bit away, but it is in Wexford Park. Kilkenny will not want to go down to Wexford Park and give any oxygen to Wexford about that Leinster Championship match. And I just think that Kilkenny, I think they've changed around their forwards a little bit. Maybe there's one or two others outside of the players we've mentioned to come back into that team that will also make a difference. And I just give it to them to win it. I thought Wexford in Ennis, now as I said, Ennis is hard to play in, but they fell behind a good little bit and did Clare take their foot off the pedal and Wexford come back into it. It's hard to know. But I just give it to Kenny by, you know, again, these are very, very narrow margins, maybe by a pint or two. But I think Brian will want to get into the Leinster quarter final, as Davey will. Both will be gunning for it. But I just give it to Kenny by a pint.
It really is a fantastic final day of the league in 1A, because you couldn't have paired them off better. Wexford Kilkenny is a huge derby. Cork Tip is the big glamour game in Munster historically, and you have Limerick Clare, who are huge rivals only across a river. Like, I mean, they paired them off perfect. Obviously they wouldn't have paired them off perfectly, it was a random draw, but that's just the way it's turned out. Quickly, we'll run through 1B here, Cheddar. The big one here is with Carlow and Offaly, and this is a big one for Laois as well. I didn't know this until I read it in the Examiner. I was talking to Damien about this. Offaly can go above Carlow and avoid relegation by beating him, because it doesn't go on score difference. Offaly are on minus 56, Carlow on minus 20. It goes on head to head. So unbelievably, if Offaly are able to turn Carlow over in Dr. Cullen Park, Carlow go into the relegation playoff, which would be a huge turnaround after their start.
I actually didn't realise that, but now that you mention it, that's correct, Willie. And look, they had two really, really good performances at the start against Dublin and against Galway. Had a pint off Galway, and had a lot of momentum behind them, and it just looked like that they were on an upward curve the whole time, from Ring to McDonough and now into the league, and performing well and playing well, settled team, good style of play, good energy and in the dressing room and that. I suppose. And look, even against Dublin, I think they scored 18 or 19 points against Dublin. I think against Galway, they scored 20. You know, it's good shooting.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see, you know, if you scored, I don't know, 4 or 5 or 5 or 5 or something like that, you might say, well, look, we'll bore through, we'll score. But 20 points is good shooting, suggests that they had a lot of scoring opportunities in that. They probably dropped a good little bit. I think against Waterford was 10. And they probably last weekend scored, I think they only missed maybe 2 chances of scores against Laois, and probably just didn't create enough, to be honest with you. I think Laois shot 12 or 14 or 15 wides, sort of suggests that there were more, they had more shots on target and that, and just didn't execute. It's a hugely important one for them. But there's some confusion, Willie. I'm pretty sure that the game is in Dr. Cullen, but there's some confusion that the game is in Tullamore.
No, well, I see it down here at Dr. Cullen. No, Brian Carroll definitely said they're away to Laois and Offaly, I'm pretty sure he said.
That's what I was certain of, but I was speaking to a few people during the week that said it was in Tullamore, and I'm sure of that. Look, I think the game in Dr. Cullen, the significance of it for Carroll, I mean, if Carroll win, do they go into a quarter final? And the importance of that for them facing into a Leinster championship is just cannot be underestimated. So I just think that Carlo, I think in the last year or two, they have certainly stepped ahead of Offaly in terms of quickness and technical skills and just settled team and all of that. Putting it in Dr. Cullen Park, I think you'd have to give it to Carlo, and the significance of the result for them. Now, the significance of the result for Offaly is massive as well. I've heard some people say, will Offaly go for the game. I'm amazed with those type of comments, really, because Offaly are going to be in a relegation final if they lose it. But they don't know who they're going to be playing. It could very well be Carlow again if they win it. If they beat Carlow, the relegation could be between themselves and Carlow. So what better way than to beat them on Sunday and then come into a relegation final and beat them again, if that's the way it turns out?
I think that relegation match will be in Tullamore.
All right. Okay. Well then, I think that adds even more significance to the match for Offaly. I think they need a performance anyway. So I think they start to lose talk about that. That Offaly, just won't put everything into this game. I just wouldn't believe that for a minute. And then look, they're a seriously, seriously proud county. I've spoken a lot about them in the last year or so, Willie. They're really disappointed about where they are, and to have that spirit within their county and within their team and within their hurling to turn up a performance here against Offaly, against Carlow, they know the importance of this. Beat Carlow on Sunday, they're back into another match against them, and what better way to do that? Beat them once, let's beat them again the following Sunday in the relegation final. But I do give it to Carlow. I just think that they have, there's a couple of qualifications of that. Martin Kavanagh went off towards the end of the game. he wasn't supposed to start last weekend. He did. He played 3/4 of the match. Looks okay to me. If he plays and he's fully fit and he can last out the game, he's a serious, serious forward. So I think if all of those things fall Carlo's way, I do expect him to win the game, particularly because the game's in Dr. Cullen Park.
Yeah, and obviously Offaly going above them doesn't make any difference because they won't be above Laois anyway. So it will be Offaly and Carlo again. Yeah, that had slipped my mind. I'm tipping Offaly here anyways. I think they're going to do us a favour. We'll have to be very quickly with these two, Laois and Dublin and Waterford-Galway. Waterford-Galway is even money. They can't be separated. It's in Walsh Park at 2:00. Galway playing experimental team, Waterford at home, and Laois and Dublin. Dublin are 1-14 to win this one, and Laois are 15-2. So we'll have to be quick on this one, Cheddar, and I'll let you go.
Yeah, no, look, there's one of them will be very easy to answer. The other one, Waterford and Galway. Look, I think both teams are in the quarterfinal already, Willie. I think both of them will be probably a little bit of experiment a little bit further, rather than just trying to settle the team now. But probably maybe Waterford need to win a little bit more. And, you know, it's a home game for them and that as well. So I just give it to Waterford. Bear in mind that the quarterfinals are on the following Sunday. You wouldn't want to be going out the previous week. And I don't say throw a game, but put too much into it. I don't think any team would do that, to be honest with you. I think that's sort of mad talk, but you might experiment a little bit too much and maybe you know, you want to find out different things, different players, and maybe just play too many at the one time or something like that and then lose the game. And I think that is just a little bit more important than Sunday. I think that'll be a tight battle, but I do expect that Waterford will win it.
Alright, okay, and Dublin to win that one. Dublin, I was reading a stat about Dublin. They beat Waterford obviously, and it was a first win over a McCarthy Cup contender in 2 years, so maybe that's a little bit of a the kind of boost that they need.
But I say, Willie, like, you know, I suppose Dublin, there were just a little bit ropey in performance in a number of matches. Even the game in Galway, I think Michael was commenting a lot on that, you know, they certainly didn't turn up performance-wise that day. They certainly did the last day in Parnell Park, and they're very, very difficult to play there. But you're hardly expecting me to go against Laois, are you?
No, you never have before. That's one thing you're consistent on, Cheddar, definitely. Disagreeing with me and tipping Laois is probably the two things you're most consistent most consistent on. Come here, Cheddar, thanks very much. We'll talk to you. We'll be back.
Thanks, Willie.
We'll be back on Monday with a review show as usual. We'll talk to you then. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
The GA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. For exclusive content from their GA ambassadors and other high-profile contributors, check out news.paddypower.com.